Hi, welcome to Stanlib's weekly economic podcast. My name is Kevin Lings and I'm the chief economist within Stanlib. The intention with these weekly podcasts is to unpack some of the key economic developments that have unfolded over the past week. And I think for this week, we need to focus on three key areas. The first is South Africa's GDP performance for the second quarter of the year. The data did surprise a little bit on the upside, but I think that was largely due to an easing of electricity outages towards the end of the quarter. The second is South Africa's recent increase in the petrol and diesel price. Both of those increases very substantial and I think unfortunately are going to push inflation higher and aggravate the plight of consumers. The third is the US ISM non-manufacturing index. Now that's a very specific number, but I think it gives us an insight as to the performance of the US economy, especially the services element of the US economy, which is simply not slowing down the way the Federal Reserve would really like. So let's start with a quick look at South Africa's GDP performance for the second quarter of the year. In total, the economy grew by 0.6%, which in itself is not especially robust, but at least it was a better growth rate than we saw in the first quarter of the year, which was 0.4%. Also, the growth outcome was better than market expectations. Most economists were thinking that the country would grow at about 0.3-0.4%. So anytime that the growth rate surprises on the upside, that is encouraging. Where did the growth come from? It was really driven by our productive sectors. By that I mean manufacturing and mining. In particular, I think manufacturing made the single biggest contribution, adding 0.3 of the 0.6. So pretty much half of the growth that we saw in the quarter came from manufacturing alone. And it's clear that the improvement in our productive sectors was driven by an easing back of electricity outages towards the end of the quarter. That tells us that the fact that electricity outages have intensified in recent weeks, it does suggest that the economy is likely to lose momentum in the third and fourth quarters of the year, unfortunately. It also highlights that if we can get to a point where we eliminate load shedding entirely, then there should be a natural uplift in South Africa's economic performance and almost an electricity dividend. And we are hopeful still that we'll see the elimination of load shedding by the end of next year. And therefore, I'm encouraged that as we get deeper into next year, and particularly 2025, the South African economy should be doing better. On the negative side, we saw a reduction in retail activity, contributing minus 0.1% to the GDP outcome. And it's what it's suggesting to us is that consumers are under pressure. Now, we've known that for a while, but it's much clearer in the data. And there's also no doubt that with interest rates likely to remain elevated well into next year, the fact that the petrol price has gone up, the fact that we've had this high inflation rate for most of this year, consumers are struggling to cope with the environment that we find ourselves in. Yes, there was a slight improvement in consumer confidence in the third quarter of the year, but it's still very negative overall, and I think in general, the consumer sector remains under pressure. So did we change our GDP forecast as a result of the data? Yes, we did. We revised up our estimate for this year to 0.7%. Still desperately weak, still suggests that we're going to struggle to add employment if we're only growing at 0.7%. But I guess it's better than where we were earlier in the year, expecting that the economy would only grow at about 0.3-0.4% for the year in its entirety. Looking forward over the next couple of years, as I mentioned earlier, we do think that the economy can gain momentum during the course of next year and into 25, especially if there is also interest rate reductions that are implemented by the Reserve Bank, which I think is very likely. So in total, the GDP number slightly better than expected, but nothing in the data would make me encouraged that we're in a strong economic upswing. I think that's still going to take some time, and it's certainly going to require that we ease back on load shedding in a very significant and in a sustained way. The latest increase in the petrol and diesel price is certainly significant. The petrol price is going up 7.5% and the diesel price 14%, and those percentages have to be compared with a inflation target of 3 to 6%. So undoubtedly, it's going to add to the difficulty that consumers and households face. Already, the household sector is under substantial strain because of elevated inflation and high interest rates, and I think this will simply aggravate those conditions. I don't expect the Reserve Bank to respond directly to these price hikes, but they clearly will monitor what do the price increases in our fuel do to other areas of inflation, the so-called second-round effects. And over the coming months, it does ensure, I think, that interest rates will have to remain elevated while the Reserve Bank gauges whether some of these price pressures are passed on. Also, from the consumer side, we've seen consumers scaling back their use of credit because credit conditions have been tightened. And so households are going to have to make difficult choices. I don't think they're going to be easily able to increase their spending on petrol and diesel and continue the consumption in other areas, which means that we're going to see downward pressure on areas such as retail sales and general consumption activity. And I think that will put the economy under further strain. On its own, it shouldn't push the economy into a recession, so it's not as damaging as that. But it makes it really difficult for South Africa to gain any significant momentum. It looks likely to us that the oil price is going to remain elevated for the rest of this year. There's a chance that OPEC, particularly Saudi Arabia, scales back production even more, and that certainly has kept the oil price reasonably elevated. There's also no doubt that many businesses will have to pass on these price increases to other components of the economy, and equally that will put various sectors, economic sectors, under strain. Let's finish off with a quick discussion on the US non-manufacturing index for August. The reason why this is important is it gives us a good idea of activity levels within the service component of the US economy. Now, we've seen the manufacturing or industrial production area of the US slow significantly and pretty much head towards a recession. But the service sectors have been fairly strong, and if the Federal Reserve wants to bring inflation under control, they pretty much got to slow the entire economy. That includes the service sectors. So this ISM index indicated that service activity actually accelerated in August. The index is almost at 55 index points, which isn't especially high, but it does indicate a healthy level of activity. In other words, there's no indication that the higher interest rates are really slowing down key parts of the service economy. If we look at the subcomponents, we've seen an acceleration in new orders, we've seen a pickup in employment index, we've seen an increase in export orders, suggesting that overall the service side of the US economy is fairly vibrant. We also know that when we break down wages, that it's within the service sectors that wages have remained especially high, and that there's quite a lot of inflationary pressure within the service economy. So on the face of it, this is not good news from an interest rate perspective. It would suggest to the Federal Reserve that perhaps they haven't done enough in terms of interest rates. Now, I don't think that the Federal Reserve is going to hike interest rates when they meet later this month. I think they will keep interest rates on hold. But it's very clear from this and other data that the US Federal Reserve can't be complacent. They have to keep warning that there is still upside risk to interest rates, and that if the economy doesn't slow more meaningfully and the inflation rate moderate more significantly, then the Federal Reserve would be forced to increase interest rates further. We remain hopeful that inflation will slow and that it will move closer to the 2% target during the course of next year. But I think markets are going to remain on edge for the next few months while we gauge the impact of interest rates and whether or not they are doing the necessary work in slowing the economy and bringing inflation ultimately under control.
So that's all from me for this week. Hope that makes some sense, and we'll catch up again in a week's time. Thanks a lot.